You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, let's talk a little bit about eligibility. Who qualifies for this and who doesn't? I'm told that, you know, individuals can't apply.
Companies cannot apply, actually.
Oh, companies cannot apply. Yeah. Only individuals.
Only individuals. Okay, we only fund individuals.
Wrong thing. Right.
And it has to be, applicants must be a minimum of 18 years of age and are permanently residing in Malaysia, subject to terms and conditions.
Yeah, but you've got this thing about having teams, and the more people you have on your team, you get points and things. It's really quite daunting
to
go through.
We encourage a minimum of at least two applicants, two member teams, and up to a maximum of five. The reason for this is that when you're in a startup, what you would like to do is to have a team of complementary abilities. So we wouldn't just want a techie, you know, in the team, but we want people with a broad, diverse range of complementary abilities like operations, marketing, and things like that. It would probably increase the chances of a successful commercialization.
But, you know, there are people out there who say, that's the problem, you know, we don't know how to put this together. Now, you yourself have been reported as saying, you know, it's not the quality of the ideas, it's the business and revenue modeling assumptions. And a lot of people out there are saying, what? You know, that's our problem. We don't know how to put that together.
Okay. One of the things that we also do in the Cradle Investment Program is that we don't just assess ideas. We also help people to develop their ideas. We value add to their commercialization process. We value add to their thinking process. We have seminars catered for that, so that if they're developing an idea, we tell them what's important in developing that idea, that you've got to show that it's got demand. You've got to show that there are customers for it, that someone is willing to pay for it. And at the end of the day, you've got to have a team that's able to execute.
Do you find that you're more sympathetic being a technopreneur yourself? You've been there.
Definitely.
You know? So you are.
Actually, the Cradle Investment Program was born from the lobbying of technopreneurs.
Well, don't be so shy. It was people like yourself. You won a prize in Venture 2001. And,
yeah.
And then you found, well, that didn't help you get any funding.
Yeah.
So you set up and you went to lobby.
Yes, we lobbied for a period of 2 years, and it was under the Prime Ministership of Tun Mahathir that we obtained the Cradle Investment Program. And we developed it so as to ensure that future technopreneurs would not have to suffer the same fate of previous technopreneurs who struggled with the lack of seed funding in the market. So we started out with a pre-seed funding program first to help people commercialize.
All right. Yes. We'll come to the issue of seed funding and further funding, because that seems to also confuse a lot of people out there who are thinking of perhaps applying.
Sure.
But let's go back now to, okay, all these things are there in place. You've got a website. People can download the forms and so on and so forth. Are you seeing in the last, 5 years, are you seeing the kind of applicants in terms of quality and numbers? Are you seeing the kind of numbers that you want?
I think that the quality of ideas have increased since we've launched our new product called Catalyst.
Right.
Chip Catalyst. Chip is the abbreviation for Cradle Investment Program.
Yes.
So we launched a new product in March, and the new revised amount for the fund, we fund up to a maximum of 150,000 now.
Yeah, very generous.
Three conditional tranches. Yeah, it's grant monies, mind you.
Yeah.
You know, in most other countries, they don't provide this. So we're the sort of the angel investors to help you create that prototype, and we also provide you commercialization support. So after we've raised the application amount, we found that the quality of ideas submitted are far better. There are more serious players now looking in commercializing. So the quality of ideas have increased.
Okay. But do you think the model works? I mean, it's actually quite ironic. You mentioned Angel, not in reference to the Singapore thing, but Singapore has something called Angel. But there, the applicants have to work much harder. They have to get a little bit of money first, show that it's really there before they can get any money to fund their project. Here, you mentioned it's a grant. So it's almost like free money to test. Now, the people who are a little bit critical about this say, well, yeah, it's practically throwing money away on something that may not show any returns. What's your comment on that?
Well, if you look at it, there will not be any mushrooming of technology ideas if we do not provide the sort of financial support that's necessary. You see a lot of promotions, multimedia super corridor, other technology areas. I think what's essential is that once we've hyped it up, we've gained the support and interest of people, what's important is that you have to show them a pathway to commercialize. Now, one of the biggest stumbling blocks within this industry is that at the end of the day, when people get excited, you know, they've burned their own money through to create the prototypes and they can't commercialize. That's a waste, because at the end of it, when these entrepreneurs fail, they don't come back. They go back to employment and never return again. And the initiatives that the government have pushed, like the multimedia support corridor and things like that, will fail if we don't provide them a financial pathway. In other countries, you have angel investors that take up the slack, you know, like in America and things like that. But over here, you don't really have an angel investor community. And if you do have an angel investor community, they're made up of people who have succeeded in banking, manufacturing, construction, you know, more of the traditional industries, unlike the angel investors in the US, who are formerly technopreneurs themselves who have exited and succeeded. So in a developing country, I feel that what's proper is that until an angel investor community can be created, the government has got to fill up that gap.
Right. Well, what's the role, or how does Cradle fit in then with organizations such as MDEC then? I mean, they've got seed fund also being offered to groups and companies. I mean, are you thinking your role is coming in before that?
MDEC is a far larger organization. They don't just provide pre-seed funds. They are an industry developer.
Well, they can provide later stage funding as well. But I mean, you know, that when you talk to people in the ICT industry, they're saying, well, there's MDEC, there's Cradle. I'm not sure where everything fits.
Everybody plays a different role. I think MDEC is more of an industry developer. Admittedly, they do have a pre-seed fund like us. I think there has to be more than one fund in any country. It's like even in
that's the technopreneur talking in you. You know that, don't you?
No, at the end of the day, the people in America, you know, they got funded because there was actually a critical mass of venture capitalists. You know, if there was, you know, less than 49, like in this country, then you would have a problem because most of them would fund the late stage ideas. So when the majority of technopreneurs are in the early stages, what do you do when you've got less than 6 VCs in the country that's doing seed funding, commercialization funding? So somewhere along the way, it is the grant element that has to come in and back it up.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the role at Cradle plays.
Now, moving on from that, someone gets in, they've applied, they've been shortlisted, you meet up with them. What's next in terms of the value add services? What sort of mentoring are we talking about here?
Okay, there's the different types of mentoring. Of course, mentoring in its, you know, broad traditional sense is someone who's been there, done it all, that sort of thing. But in Cradle, what we do is we have domain gap mentors. Usually, startups have very young management teams, you know, anywhere between the age range of 21 to 35. They do lack some sort of domain somewhere. Either they're techies with no marketing domain, or they're marketing people with no technology domain, or both with no operations domain, you know. So what we do is we get the mentor who is strong in one of these weakness areas to help them fill up that weakness.
All right. And does the mentoring include telling them how to prepare all these financial assumptions and projections and so on and
so
forth?
Yes, we do that. Once their prototype is completed, the idea is inserted into this mechanism, which we call the Ideas Bank, where we help them secure the next round of funding or secure their first round of contracts. And we've had pretty good success at that. Our commercialization rate is at 42%. Which is the highest in the country, I think, amongst the pre-seed grants.
Yeah, I'm told by people who do know about Cradle that there's a very high success rate. But, you know, the excitement is there's still a lot of money out there. And
There's still a lot of money.
And people are excited at the fact that, you know, a statement has been made that you want to give, what, $30 million away in grants just this year alone?
Okay, let me qualify that statement.
Okay.
The 30 million statement, I think, has to be taken into context. We put in proposals to the Ministry of Finance to provide seed or commercialization funding. Okay. And the number was based on the assumption that all approvals are obtained from Ministry of Finance for our programs. We're still pending approval on the commercialization funding.
But you would like to give up 30
definitely.
Million in grants. What good news for technopreneurs out there. Unfortunately, you know, people like me don't fall in that 21 to 35 range. I like to lie and say I do, but I don't.
No. We have people from.
I mean, do you have 50-year-olds and 60-year-old people?
Our oldest applicant is 64, I think.
Okay, yeah. So there's hope for me. Yeah, we're going to take a short break right now, and we'll be back with more with Nazreen Hassan of Cradle. Stay tuned.
BFM 89.9, the business station.